Welcome to Private Club Radio, your weekly source for industry education, news and discussion. Broadcasting from Tampa, Florida, ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Gabriel Aloisi.
Welcome to Private Club Radio. So happy to be with you once again on episode number 98. Today we're speaking with Joel Livingood. He's the general manager at Interlochen Country Club, and we'll also be chatting alongside Lou DiLorenzo, who sits on the board of governors at Interlochen. And we're going to have a lively discussion today about the next generation of private club managers. Going to be some good stuff, some great takeaways for you. Now, I had met Joel about 6 months ago at the National Club Conference in New York City. And he came up to me. He said he was a fan of Private Club Radio and wanted to introduce himself. And that was really nice of him. And then I saw his business card and it said general manager. And then I saw Interlochen next to it and I was shocked. I was surprised. He's a young guy. I thought that was really cool, but it definitely surprised me. I told Joel at the time, I want to get you on Private Club Radio. And it just finally has now all come together because Club Director put out a wonderful article about Joel and about some of the other younger next generation of general managers that are coming into the industry right now. Just a wonderful article. And so I wanted to get him on the show to chat about it and get his perspective on what it was like and where he's taking the club, any roadblocks or any concerns that he came up with. It's going to be a really lively discussion. You're going to enjoy this episode for sure. And it's going to be nice to get the perspective of someone who was part of the decision-making process and bringing in a general manager as young as Joel. So very cool stuff. It'd be nice to chat with both Lou and Joel here in just a few minutes. Now, I wanted to thank all of those that participated and left a voicemail for the 100th episode that'll be airing in just a couple of weeks here on Private Club Radio. Thank you to Rick Coffey, who put it together. He did a great job, and he put out some posts on LinkedIn, which have been really extremely well received. I think it's his highest ranking post of all time. Last I checked, he was upwards of 5,000 people who have seen the post. So lots of excitement and lots of festivities happening around the 100th episode. I'm actually going to be in Ireland at the Club Leadership Summit during the 100th episode, but don't worry, we've got it all pre-recorded and it's going to be a really, really good one. So make sure that you're back here in a couple weeks to listen to that. Now, I wanted to give a shout out here on Private Club Radio to a couple of chapters that hosted me, some CMAA chapters. We had the Wisconsin Badger chapter. I was just there last week. And the day before that, the Arkansas Razorback chapter of the CMAA. Thank you guys so much for hosting me. In particular, I wanted to say thanks to Blaine Burgess, who put on a wonderful evening before the conference. We had a barbecue dinner back in the backwoods of Arkansas. It was really unique. We all had cowboy boots and jeans on. So it's pretty fun to see a bunch of general managers in cowboy boots. I always see them in suits. It was nice. It was relaxed. They do something called the Chaîne de Rôtisseurs, which is a club, like a barbecue club, kind of, I guess is how I would describe it. And they had just a wonderful dinner. It was like, there was these grits that were incredible. I thought, you know, I'm not a huge grits eater, but they just, the way they made them was just impeccable. And it was like a 5-course meal, all sorts of barbecued meats, some wild game meats in there. And just a really good time. The conference the next day, Norm Spitzig and I spoke about wildly successful private club membership marketing and how you can bring those tactics to your club. That was just really well received there by some great managers in the Arkansas Razorback chapter. And I also wanted to say thank you to Catherine Collins because I flew up the next day to Wisconsin to the Badger chapter there. And Kathy actually provided a copy of the definitive guide to membership marketing to all the attendees. So they all left with a nice gift, which was really special for me and for them. And that just went really well. It was about a 3-hour session talking about disrupting the membership model. And that was actually the first time I'd given that particular talk. There's pieces of that talk and some other things, but it was the first time that I gave that one. And apparently it was very well received. But just wanted to say that that is really, if you ever get a chance to visit another chapter, go up to Wisconsin, because I've been to a few chapters now, and they're the most welcoming folks I've ever come across. Not only were they welcoming, but they were really attentive and they were really into it during the session. So it was really nice as a speaker. I've actually spoken in some places where you get those cold audiences. The one that comes to mind is Asia, where it's just like deadpan faces. And that is so difficult to talk to a crowd like that, that has no reaction to what you're saying. These folks were really engaged. They participated. We had a really lively discussion throughout the morning. And it was just a lot of fun. And actually, Milwaukee, what a great city. I'll be completely honest here. I wasn't expecting much out of Milwaukee, but it blew me away. It was just so fun. I went on a few brewery tours. I went on some craft brewery tours. I also saw Miller Brewery, Miller Coors, which is like a city unto itself. Just pretty cool there. And I went to a speakeasy. That was really neat. You had to have a password to get in, and there was a magician at one of the bars, and it was this just really cool spy theme. So if you ever get a chance to visit Milwaukee, do it. It's worth it.
And now it's time for Club Perspectives, presented by the National Club Association.
Well, welcome to another Club Perspectives presented by the National Club Association. Today, I'm joined by Lou DiLorenzo. He's the president of the Board of Governors at Interlochen Country Club, and Joel Livinggood, their general manager. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Terrific, Gabe.
Great, Gabe.
Yes, awesome. Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Gabe.
It's awesome to have you. And this segment actually was inspired by an article that Philip Mike wrote in Club Director magazine, the magazine of the National Club Association. So what we're going to be covering today is sort of the next generation of private club managers. And first off, Lou, it's got to be a serious task finding the right fit for a prestigious club like yours. What were some of the characteristics of a good general manager that you were looking for?
That's a great question, Gabe. Thanks. I think first and foremost, as the Board of Governors looked at the work that we had ahead of us from a master plan perspective, and as the club industry has continued to evolve, we really were looking for somebody who saw the club business as a business, and was able to understand how to compete in that business as the industry has changed. And so, different characteristics, but really focused on, what are the economics? How do we think about improving service quality and really driving a conversation about value with our current and prospective members was really important. Strong communication skills, strong quantitative skills, say a lot of energy, a lot of imagination. Those were things that we thought about as we looked for characteristics in our general manager.
Nice. Did you imagine when you started the process you'd be hiring someone as young as Joel? Joel, how old are you, by the way?
28 this past September.
Wow. Wow. So did you think that you'd be hiring someone that young, Lou?
We did. It's a good question. We didn't. And I would say we were fortunate in our club, our head club professional, Nathan Olof, who's been with us for a number of years, joined us probably about the same age as Joel is when he joined us. And so I would say at Interlochen, Nathan kind of blazed that trail, if you will, for us really thinking about talent, irrespective of years of experience, but really focused on the experience that the candidates have had, regardless of their age. And so I think, we didn't set out, obviously, to do that. But, I think the wonderful success that Nathan has had at the club really made us very open-minded as we thought about the wonderful experience that Joel has had, despite the few years of experience that he's had in the job.
Yeah. Well, kudos to you for taking a shot there. And I know it's been working out really well, but was there some trepidation from your membership about hiring a manager from, I guess the millennial generation, you'd call it?
I would say no. It was actually a relatively short conversation. Again, I think we were fortunate with Joel, given the results that he's seen from some, significant clubs, the reputation that he's had nationally, and from some, from some key folks that we look to for guidance and input. It actually was a relatively short conversation, and I was pleased with that because it meant we were focused on what we needed. We were really clear on where we were going. And we were really looking for a thought partner and executor to help us get there. And the board and the membership were very very enthusiastic about Joel, and he's done an awful lot in the 6 months that he's been with us. I mean, we've recently approved the largest capital investment that we've had in about 20 years, and he was an integral part to making that happen. And so he joined when the train was rolling down the tracks and did a great job making sure we got to the destination.
That's fantastic. It does show that you had a lot of unity there behind you if everybody was on board with that. If you were advising another club that was considering hiring a millennial or this new generation as a manager, what would you tell them, Lou?
I would tell them, really, Gabe, the last point you made, which is make sure you're really unified in terms of, you know, where's the club going? Where does it see its membership evolving in terms of what's important to them? Again, Joel's experience and expertise really lined up with our united view on how we saw the private club industry continuing to evolve, our membership continuing to trend younger, the things that influence the buying decision for that demographic have continued to evolve as the industry has changed. And so we all had a pretty clear line of sight to that evolution, and it made thinking about who was going to really help us lead towards that change, again, a very easy decision. So I would say if the membership and the board is less aligned or less certain on that, I think regardless of who you hire as your general manager and what demographic they represent, you really want to make sure you do that first, because if you don't do that, whoever you pick, regardless of the generation, is maybe going to have a harder time being successful.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice. Joel, I want to turn it over to you at this point. Can you give us your background prior to managing Interlochen?
Absolutely. You know, I grew up in a place called Fargo, North Dakota, which is just about 4 hours west of the Twin Cities here.
In the movie. And in the show.
Yeah, from the movie, exactly. Exactly, yeah, and the show now. So that's kind of our claim to fame. And you know, I found my passion for hospitality there early on, caddying at a place called the Oxbow Country Club, which is just this unique, great little club, 10 miles south of Fargo. It's a Robert Trent Jones Jr. golf course. And that's really where I fell in love with hospitality and really with golf. And worked there all throughout high school and college in a variety of different roles in the operation. And I went and got my business degree at the University of Minnesota. And, you know, at that time, I wasn't really sure that I'd end up in a role at a club. Really, you know, the larger business school here in a big city with, you know, nearly 20 Fortune 500 companies, you know, you're really on a track to find a role in one of those organizations. But a little bit right place, right time. That club I grew up at in Fargo was looking for a general manager about the time I graduated. And, you know, they took a chance on me when I was 22. And, you know, frankly, on day one, I'm not sure if I knew what I was doing, but they were supportive. They helped me learn along the way. And I spent 3.5 great years there and was fortunate to be a part of a major capital project where we built a new golf course and a new clubhouse. And, you know, towards the tail end of that, my now wife was not enthused about living in Fargo the rest of our lives. And so took a jump here to the Twin Cities to a place called North Oaks Golf Club, and spent 2.5 years there and similar success with some strategic planning and capital planning. And, you know, when the opportunity presented itself to be at Interlochen, you know, for me, that's like, yeah, it's like making it to the Yankees, right? Whether you like the Yankees or not, there's this dream, and Interlochen was that place for a kid growing up in the Midwest, and excited to be here for a long, long time.
Yeah, there's such a rich history there. You guys have hosted a number of majors and whatnot. Can you take me through what some of those were?
Certainly. Yeah, you know, certainly the pinnacle in Interlochen's history was in 1930 when Bobby Jones won the third leg in his eventual quest for a Grand Slam. And so a lot of rich golf history here. Patty Berg, you know, a prominent LPGA Tour professional, learned to play golf at Interlochen. And then in 2008, we hosted the Women's U.S. Open and Annika Sorensen's last Open. And so a rich history of championship golf here. And that really, you know, was a big big draw for me as being a golfer and being able to be at a club who has that history and a desire to compete at that level in the future as well.
Yeah, I bet it was. How much was it of a challenge was it for you to step into this big of a role at a club that has that kind of history with Bobby Jones and the greats coming through it?
Sure. You know, I think interestingly, you know, our industry really, regardless of size, you know, I think a lot of challenges are similar. And, you know, there was maybe a little bit of an intimidation factor here, but really it was mostly exciting for me. And I've been really fortunate, you know, as Lou shared, that I've had a board of governors and staff that's been extremely supportive of me since day one. And, you know, Nathan, our golf professional he referenced, has become a good friend, was a good friend prior to even joining the team here and really kind of blazed that trail, so to speak. And so there certainly was a little bit of that intimidation factor any time there's change in leadership at an organization, let alone at a place that as rich in history and tradition as Interlochen is challenging and sometimes difficult, but fortunate to be very supported here. And it's been a really smooth transition for me, fortunately.
Yeah, I liked your analogy. It is kind of like stepping into the World Series, which is pretty cool. But you can see, you really find out what you're made of right away when that happens, right?
Absolutely.
Take us through your first few months at the club. What did you focus on or what did you set out to accomplish, Joel?
Absolutely. You know, you talked a little about the article in the recent Club Director magazine that NCA puts out and really talked a lot about transitions. And, you know, I think about my transition here and past transitions, you know, on the front end, you're really working as hard as you can to learn as much about the club as possible before day one. You know, Luke talked about the train had left the station on the work on a facilities master plan and needed to get up to speed on as much as I could about the club before I got here. And so the club was terrific in providing a lot of information on the front end. I had some access to staff being local here to really learn the ins and outs as much as I could before day one. You know, in those few months, it's really about being visible. It's about being, on the floor and starting to build relationships with members and staff, working alongside the staff to see how we do things. One-on-one meetings with past presidents, with board members, with committee chairs, with staff members. And really just taking a step back and listening and understanding kind of what is Interlochen today? What's our culture like? What are the norms and expectations? Seeing what works, what doesn't work. I'm a firm believer in any of these transitions, regardless of if it's a small club or a club, you know, five times the size of Interlochen. When you make that transition, taking a step back, listening and learning and asking questions before you, make any changes or drastic decisions, I think only provides value and will help you be more successful.
Yeah, very well said, Joel. How did you go about getting buy-in from the members? I know Lou said that, you know, there wasn't necessarily any trepidation and they were all aboard the train, but still there's anytime you're walking into a club, there's got to be that initial where you got to get the buy-in. So how'd you go about doing that, Joel?
Yeah, good question. I think there's three things that really stick out to me. And one I mentioned, and it's simple, and I think you hear it from all of the search executives out there or really anybody in the industry who's been successful. You know, that visibility and sincere engagement with the membership early on and throughout your career is important. So I always tried to be at the right place at the right time and spend a lot of time with the membership. The second piece was you try and find early wins. And you know, a story comes to mind. I had a member, it was my second day at the club, and he came to me and he said, you know, I've been a member here for however many years. And he said, there's one thing I've always been trying to get done, that the lockers in the fitness center don't lock. And, the next day we had the lockers in the locker room fixed for him. And he was a member, he was a past president that really, you know, frankly was influential in my first 100 days and ultimately in getting our capital plan approved. And so it was just really simple things. You know, we did a lot of things. If a member made a recommendation or a suggestion to me that I felt was really easy and didn't have a significant impact, be it financially or on the staff, we tried to make those things happen, and I think created some buy-in early. And then the third piece for me is I gained a lot of buy-in just through the facilities master planning process. I think really proud of our board and our team for the process we ran and how engaged the membership was in that process. And so I had a unique opportunity that maybe some don't, to spend a lot of time one-on-one with members and in, you know, smaller group settings, listening to their thoughts about the club and how they wanted to see things change. And I think when they saw some of those things come to life, they said, wow, you know, they asked and they listened and they acted on it. And that really helped and really set the foundation for what we're going to do in the future.
Yeah, I bet. What were some of the challenges that you faced?
You know, I think you talked a lot about the tradition and the history at Interlochen. And I think at a club like Interlochen, when 2008 happened, we didn't have to evolve or innovate like a lot of other clubs in the world did. We were able to rely on that rich history and tradition in our brand. Golf was still, maintained a strong foothold here. But as things have changed, as the lifestyles have changed and just society has evolved, that brand, albeit still very strong, needs to evolve at some point. And You know, when we, as we've gone through this master planning process, you know, we're making a significant investment in fitness and a lot of non-golf amenities, still maintaining the, you know, a championship golf course that, you know, we think's poised to host championship golf in the future. But, you know, we're diversifying, and we're looking, as Lou mentioned, to improve that value proposition with other activities for other folks in the family that don't play golf. And that was certainly a challenge for some folks, and certainly more challenging when, you know, the new guy is helping lead that charge, who maybe doesn't, they, in their perception, is he doesn't have, you know, a great appreciation for that rich history and tradition, you know, having not been here a long time. And so that was certainly challenging, but I think, you know, the process brought some confidence to what we were doing. And, you know, so I think that that's probably the biggest piece. You know, the other piece, I think, is we've had some turnover in our staff, and you've lost a lot of historical knowledge, you know, name recognition, and really simple things in our business that make all the difference. You know, we're lost as some people departed. And so we've had to overcome those challenges. But again, been fortunate to be very supported by our board and the group with everything that we're doing.
Nice, nice. Now, did you ever have any self-doubt creep in? Did you ever doubt yourself or the process?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I would say doubt, just challenges. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to have that support system and families and colleagues and, you know, really Lou and our board to get over those humps. You know, certainly days when you go home and you're just wondering if are we ever going to get there? You know, a lot of long days and long hours and, you know, certainly all worth it in the end. But I have a terrific wife at home that's supportive of the career, and I'm sure hears far more than she'd like to every day. You know, it all just made me better, made the process better, and learned a lot about myself and the club along the way.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What are some of the accomplishments at Interlochen that you're most proud of, Joel?
You know, we talked about it, and Lou referenced it, you know, we were able to bring a facilities master plan really from kind of a starting point in which it had done a lot of work in the last few years, but we really reinvented the wheel on day one. And that plan was approved in August, about 6 months after I arrived, and really monumental for the club. As Lou mentioned, it's, you know, the largest capital plan we've undertaken here in the last 20 years, and really is setting our direction for the next chapter in our history. So that certainly stands out. We've been fortunate to, you know, improve our financial performance over the course of the last 6 months. And, you know, I feel from what I've gathered from team members, a little bit of a boost in morale among our team. And so certainly proud of what we've accomplished, and couldn't have done it without those around me, but more excited for what's going to be next.
Lou, I'll turn it over to you again real quick. What were some of the things that you're happy with or proud of, the accomplishments that have happened here in the last year or so?
Yeah, thanks, Gabe. You know, I think as we talked, I mean, this master planning process was a significant undertaking, and we didn't take anything for granted as we went through it, and there were a ton of people involved. I think the thing I'm most proud of as it relates to that is, one, the process. I think no decisions from membership is ever unanimous, right? And so, you know, it passed, and we got a lot of great momentum and enthusiasm. My ask of the membership was to make sure people voted, because it was too important a decision for the club. And we had, about 85% of our stockholders voted, which was a significant turnout relative to past efforts. And so I was really proud of that. The second piece was for those that we knew based on conversations that we'd had that they weren't supportive of some of the investment recommendations. They complimented us thoroughly on the process that we ran. And so for me as a member, I've been a member for a long time, and the club is a significant, element of my life and my friends and family there. And so it was really important to me that we ran a process that we could be proud of, that I could be, you know, proud of as a member and as a having the privilege to serve as the president. And so I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of Joel and the staff because they really worked hard to listen. We listened collectively, but a tremendous amount of work. And as Joel mentioned, we've been executing very well. I mean, we made a number of observations around things we could do to improve service quality, work on our economics, drive velocity in terms of our membership, and Joel and the team have done a fantastic job. And so, you know, when I walk around the club these days, we get a lot of people that are excited about the momentum we're building at the club and the momentum we've got in the marketplace. It's a very dynamic marketplace in the Twin Cities. And so I think we're leaning forward into the opportunity we've got in front of us. And I think our members see that. And It feels to me like people are walking a little bit taller these days, whether it's staff or membership, and I'm excited about that.
It's really cool. Joel, last question for you. What advice would you give to the next generation of managers out there?
Yeah, that's a good question, and something I even reflect upon myself as I kind of look back and say, you know, I certainly didn't think I'd be, be with the Yankees as soon as I was. And so I always kind of reflected on what got me here. And, you know, I think four things really stand out for me. One is I've always challenged myself early on, and I encourage other managers that have aspirations to be in a larger role at their club or another club someday to, you know, step outside your comfort zone and step outside your job description. The thing that I love about private clubs, different from other maybe larger hospitality organizations, like a major hotel chain is you have opportunities to go out and do things that you maybe otherwise wouldn't be able to do. If you have an idea or you want to try something new, you know, bring it to your general manager or your direct supervisor. And oftentimes you have the opportunity to do that. There's not a lot of red tape. And so I think that's exciting, and encourage colleagues to step outside of that job description and comfort zone and challenge yourself. The other thing for me, critical to my success early on and today, has been to have strong mentors, and, you know, found folks in the industry early on that were that I looked up to. And other great thing about our industry is you just pick up the phone and most of the time they answer and call back. And so I've been fortunate to spend time with a lot of great managers and folks that if I have a challenge or something that's really plaguing me, I can pick up the phone and call 5-10 people that I know will always provide sound advice. The other thing is I've always prided myself on being a why not person, why instead of a why person. You know, if somebody has a new idea or wants to do something, I say, why not? What's the worst thing that can happen? We're going to fail and we're going to learn something from it. And so in today's world, as Lou talked about, you know, kind of the velocity that we've found as a club, you've got to innovate and try new things. And so those that can do that, I think, are going to be successful in our industry long term. And then the last piece is ask for feedback. So something that I struggled with early on in my career, but I think it's absolutely critical to be successful. You know, you need to ask for that feedback. Sometimes it's hard to hear it, but I think it's even harder if you don't hear it. And so for those around you, ask for that feedback, ask how you can get better, and set your goals high.
Really wise words there, Joel. It's no coincidence that you are now managing Interlock, and I can tell just by what the wisdom that you're dropping on us right now. So that's really cool. Thank you so much. Well, thank you both so much, and thank you to the National Club Association, who puts this segment on each and every month. Definitely would recommend that you pick up that edition of Club Director. It's the fall 2017 edition. And if you want to learn more about the National Club Association, head over to their website, which is nationalclub.org. Joel, Lou, thank you so much for joining me today on Private Club Radio.
My pleasure.
Thank you,
Gabe. All right, another one is in the books. Thanks for joining me here once again on Private Club Radio. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and I hope you'll be back here next week with me. Until then, here's to your membership success.
Private Club Radio is brought to you by the Private Club Agency, the premier marketing and consulting firm dedicated to helping clubs increase and retain their membership. Visit privateclubagency.com to learn more.